What is up, everybody? This is the Sharp Angles Podcast, the Sunday recap edition of the Sharp Angles Podcast for week 15. It does feel odd saying week 15 still. The NFL season is so odd because like the middle bit feels like it takes forever. And then you get to the end and you're like, well, how did we even arrive there? But here we are, week 15, just three more to go, just a couple more games to go in this week. It was an interesting week. Thank goodness it wasn't a week with a ton of injuries. And so we're not going to have to talk about that a lot, but some interesting games, most specifically the Bills and the Cowboys, which I think we'll spend a lot of time talking about, and might have one of my co-hosts here. He might not be too excited, and that's Curtis Hirsch, also joined by Tucker Bagley, who is probably more excited about kind of that turn of events, being an Eagles fan. I'm just trying to sow discord between the two of you. That's the whole thing I try to do here in the intro. But anyway, Curtis, how you feeling? How are things going in Cowboys land?
Yeah, honestly, they were in a rough spot. Three straight games at home, going up to Buffalo, and I never really had high expectations for them this week, and the game didn't mean a whole lot anyway. They're always going to finish fifth place, and now they might actually play the Buccaneers again. So we'll talk about that division. It's like, who are they going to play? I always thought we're going to just play Art Smith, and there's no way they could lose. But Baker Mayfield is playing really well, so we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I'm more sour about the fantasy day of what could have been for some players of mine. So the Cowboys, they lost. They were always finishing fifth. So
we have, I think you mentioned it right that it was a tough spot for them, given the games they've been playing, given coming off of that, you know, emotional win against the Eagles. They have another, you know, tough game this week as well. And so it was kind of, you know, it was kind of a rough spot for them. They ran into a buzzsaw. The Bills are all playing playoff games every single week, where it wasn't that serious for the Cowboys. And so I do think like you can throw a lot of, you know, you could throw a lot of caveats onto this game. But for me, what was most impressive about this Bills and Cowboys game was the Bills defense, because this Cowboys offense has been flying. This Cowboys offense, Dak Prescott specifically, has been playing amazing, and it just wasn't there. And part of it was that the Bills could run as much as they wanted. James Cook finished with 179 yards on 25 carries. He could run as much as he wanted to run, and that kind of changes the way the game is, forced the Cowboys to maybe press a little bit more, and maybe that played some role in it. But for the entire game, the defense looked like they just had the Cowboys number. And to me, if the Bills defense is playing that way, then that is a different team that we're looking at, Tucker. That is a team that you are, you know, you're always scared of Josh Allen. If the defense is playing that way, you're much more scared of the Bills, I think.
Yeah, they look like a much more complete team. And it's funny, for a team that, you know, came in, even though they were 7-6, they were 11th place in the AFC with all the tiebreakers and everything. And we talked about a little bit last week, like if they made the playoffs, if they were the seventh seed or the sixth seed, it's a good chance they could be favored on the road in wildcard weekend just because they have Josh Allen. And you're right, the way this defense, you know, kind of set the tone all day, like it was a sloppy game. It was gross weather-wise, but Cowboys averaged 3.4 yards per play today. They were never really, you know, got anything going, especially early on when the Bills jumped out to that big lead in the first half. And I mean, but this has also kind of been the way the Cowboys have been this year. Like, their offense has struggled on the road, especially outside. Like, they've put up huge numbers at home and at home. But you look at, you know, when they've played on the road, they put up 33 in Carolina, but, you know, 23 in Philadelphia, 10 at San Francisco, 20 at the Chargers, only 16 against Arizona on the road. I mean, they're a different team when they're not in Dallas.
I actually didn't know that those splits. That's interesting. I actually did not know that splits. And I wonder, I mean, now that raises some questions about the playoffs, because as we talked about, as Curtis mentioned at the top, and we'll see what happens with the Eagles on Monday night. They don't have an easy game at all going to Seattle, and we'll see where Jalen Hurts is. I mean, I would suspect that Jalen Hurts is able to play through an illness. That is normally the kind of thing people play through, especially since, you know, he's going to have an extra, you know, it's almost 36 hours from when that report about him, you know, feeling really bad surfaced. And so I assume he's going to play, but I mean, that's a tough spot. But let's say the Eagles are able to take the division, the 49ers look almost, you know, locked into the number one seed. Then the Cowboys are looking at a situation where they're going to have to play a lot of road games, and that's concerning. You mentioned the Bucs. Whoever wins that, it's probably, based on what we saw today, and we'll get to that later, it's probably the Bucs or the Saints. I think, Curtis, you probably are a little bit more scared of the Bucs at this point than you would be any of the other two teams if you're stuck there in that fifth spot.
Yeah, on the Bucs have the potential. They have enough players. It's just, will the coaching staff stub their own toe? And I think we might see that with Todd Bowles, and that's why that division is what it is. Those teams all seem to have some sort of problem, and it's always an internal problem. We'll get to the Falcons at some point and then to discuss that. But for the Cowboys, too, today it was a typical Mike McCarthy undisciplined team with silly penalties. They took a roughing the passer, hitting the kicker, and then what was the other one, a roughing the passer? There was three times they had the Bills stop at the end, just took ridiculously foolish defensive penalties. And that's what, if you do that against the Eagles or the 49ers, you stand no chance. Those teams are, we see the 49ers score every single possession. They will make you pay for every single penalty you take.
We actually, so our colleague Joe Gibbs, who writes a great penalty breakdown every single week on sharpfootballanalysis.com, great website, go and check it out. He consistently, when he's writing about the Cowboys, he's writing about how undisciplined they are and how it's just a recurring theme that we're just continuing to see over and over again. So yeah, it's interesting to see that kind of affect them. But the Bills also had the same issues. Like, did they get two late hits on Dak early in the game? Like, they were having a similar issue in this game. So it was interesting to see. So we're going to move on and talk about the rest of the AFC playoff race, which is very, very interesting. Before we do that, though, I do want to mention, if you're listening to this in a podcast form, we do this live every single Sunday at 7:30 Eastern on the Sharp Football Analysis YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Sharp Football, and you can find us. Click subscribe. It'll tell you when we go live. We go live a lot on the channel. We go live on Sunday nights, go live on Wednesday nights, on Thursdays. We go live, and you can come into the chat. You can ask us questions. You can get involved in the conversation. So yeah, come and join us. It's always fun to talk about the week that was. Also, I mean, we continue to kill it. I don't know what the final numbers were today, but I know that we continue to kill it in both the props and sides markets. We've been on an amazing hot streak, nearly 70% for going on 2 months now. If you want to be a part of that, you can go to sharpfootballanalysis.com, use the promo code ANGLES, and you can get access to our NFL Plus package, which includes all of our fantasy stuff. It includes Curtis's waiver wire column, all of Rich Rebar's content, and then it includes all of our betting recommendations as well. And I'd highly recommend it. Use code ANGLES. You can get 15% off. Let's look at that AFC playoff race that we kind of referenced a little bit there. We ended up getting, you know, two losses of all the teams kind of involved, all those 7 and 6 teams from last week. Two teams lost on Saturday. That was the Steelers and the Broncos. Two teams won on Saturday. That was the Colts and the Bengals. The Texans, Browns, and Bills win today. So we're kind of set up in this kind of tiered system. You have the Browns at 9-5. You have the Colts, Bengals, Texans, and Bills at 8-6. And then you have the Broncos and Steelers at 7-7. We actually have a question here in the chat about the Steelers, which I think is interesting. Are the Steelers in absolute purgatory or what? The Steelers are an interesting team to talk about here because they were in a decent position before that Kenny Pickett injury. And then you think to yourself, well, Mitch Trubisky can't come in and it can't get worse than Kenny Pickett. And as it turns out, it can. And now they're looking at a situation where they're a game back of the wild card. They still have the Bengals. They still have the Seahawks. They still have the Bills. The Steelers, if you had those Steelers not making the playoffs bets in the preseason, as somebody who may be talking right now had, Curtis, I'm feeling pretty good about that bet, kind of where we're standing. But, you know, who knows? Maybe Mike Tomlin works his magic. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you weren't feeling very good about that 3 weeks ago. And then the Cardinals,
not at all.
The Cardinals, Patriots, and Colts all just did away with Mitch Trubisky. So, sorry, Kenny Pickett, for slandering you earlier in the year because I said Mitch Trubisky was an upgrade. I was wrong. The whole, and we always pointed fingers at Matt Canada for holding the offense back. It's the same thing. They just run the ball on first and 10 with Najee Harris, and he's got absolutely no burst, and it's 2 or 3 yards every single time, and they just put themselves in a hole. It's an organizational problem right now, and I think that's the Steelers are in purgatory, and I think the organization is going to have to change something this summer, whether that's Mike Tomlin, whether that's there's a whole lot that needs to happen, and the defense is good enough. They have enough good players. They can figure their way out of it, but I think they need some smarter, more offensively creative minds in that system, someone like a Ben Johnson or just something to change the way they run that offense, because even with Matt Canada leaving, the offense still does the exact same thing, and every team just knows exactly what they're going to do, and we saw that yesterday. They're even trailing, and they're still trotting Najee Harris out there, and the Colts are better on run defense, and they've got that secondary with, I can't remember his name, returned from his PED suspension. They're better on the run. They have the, yeah. And they just refuse to throw the ball, and there's an organizational shift that needs to be made there, and yeah, they're in purgatory, because they're not going to make the playoffs, and you've won too many games to get a really good draft pick, so that's a team that has to look at someone like Justin Fields. Maybe that's
the interesting answer. Yeah, like if you go and get some of these, like, I guess dissatisfied quarterbacks. Yeah, that's an interesting. That's an
Kenny Pickett's not the answer either, and they're now playing. They're out of the quarterback for this year's draft. You have to start looking for someone like that, I think, but. Yeah, we'll see what.
Yeah, I'm not prepared. You said they're out of the playoffs. I'm not prepared to say that about any team.
How do they come back after they've just lost three games where they absolutely cannot lose? I think there's so much turmoil going on in that room right now that's why I just don't see them recovering from these three losses. Maybe they do, and I eat my words again, just like I ate my words about Kenny Pickett, but. Just so much is spiraling, and Coach Tomlin is on the hot seat, and maybe he wants to leave, and maybe people want him to leave. It's not a good situation, and they were in the driver's seat 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. It's gone now. Yeah. I mean, they were definitely in the driver's seat. They're definitely in a much worse position. And if I were taking odds, my odds would be that they're not going to make the playoffs. But this has just been a wild year. I think about the Bucks. The Bucks won, what, 3 of the first 4 and then lost like 6 of 7. And now they've won 3 in a row. So things in this season have been wild. The Steelers actually play the Bengals on, I believe, Saturday this week. I believe both of the teams are playing on Saturday for the second week in a row. That is true. The Bengals, you know, they got another win. They're 8-6, Tucker, but they have this issue with Ja'Marr Chase. I think it came out, it was an AC joint sprain. Is that what he's dealing with?
Yeah, that's what he's officially dealing with. It just isn't necessarily great for a guy who needs to reach for balls and get his arm above his head. So that's something that I don't think knocks him out for the rest of the year, which we've kind of reached the point now where, you know, maybe not a super major injury will do that. But, you know, we only have, what, 4 weeks left, 3 weeks left after this week?
3 weeks, yeah.
3 weeks, which is absolutely absurd to say out loud. But, yeah, I wouldn't expect him to be back this week, but it could be a situation where he is back before the end of the regular season. I would probably expect that, depending on kind of where they are in the playoff. They're still looking for a playoff spot. I would expect them to be back. Expect him to be back before the regular season's over.
Bengals are in an interesting spot because they're 8-6. They're in that group of, you know, of four teams that are trying to get the two spots behind the Browns. And then they get the Steelers this week on Saturday, and that is a winnable game. And then they get the Chiefs. We'll see where the Chiefs are at that point. Then they get the Browns, which could be another very interesting game. And so I've been really excited about what we've seen here from Jake Browning. But this run would have been tough with Joe Burrow. And now we don't have Joe Burrow. And I don't think, I'm going out on a limb here, I don't think Jake Browning is as good as Joe Burrow. And now we have the Ja'Marr Chase issue. I'm rooting for him. I think it's a really cool story, but I'm not sure what we're going to see from this. The team, and I talked about this, and I have to eat some crow now, Curtis. I talked about this last week, is I don't think the Colts are as good as the teams that are around them. And then they come out and they beat the Steelers. They're at 8-6. They're tied with all of these other teams. Their schedule is pretty easy. They get the Falcons, the Raiders, and then they play the Texans at the end of the season in a game that could really mean a lot in this wild card battle. I mean, I I'm going to probably eat my words. They're in a great spot now after that win.
Yeah. Shane Steichen, man, he just knows what he's doing over there. That is an organizational change right there that made them what they are now. They're so many injuries deep and they still continue to win. And they're not a team that we thought was going to win this year. So pretty incredible. Again, yesterday might be the Steelers throwing up on themselves more than them, but they've got some hills to climb with Michael Pittman being injured, Zach Moss's arm, who knows if Jonathan Taylor. So they're up against it as well. But again, incredible that they're here, and kudos to Shane Steichen for turning that team around. That's going to be a fun team to watch for a while moving forward.
We have a sad post from Cohen in the chat. I need AJ and Hurts to score 60 points. I mean, Seattle's defense was actually good in the middle part of the season, and it has not been good recently. And so if Hurts is healthy, I don't know. Keep the Absolutely. Faith. Keep the
I don't
hope.
I don't think that's out of the question.
No, keep the hope. 5%
chance.
Absolutely. One more game on Saturday, just real quick, since we're going over the AFC picture. We saw the Broncos lose. We saw them lose convincingly, I would say. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, they fall down to 7-7. But I mean, this, what I kept bringing up after this Detroit game is they get the Patriots, the Chargers, and the Raiders. Two of those teams are bad and might not care very much anymore, and then there's the Raiders, and so they're still in it, and we'll see kind of what happens. But talking about games from today, I want to talk a little bit about the Browns game, because I thought it was a really impressive performance, not from Joe Flacco was not good in this game, but to see the Browns be able to come back from where they are against a Bears team that I continue to think is actually pretty good team, a Bears team that they didn't finish the job here. They're going to have questions about Justin Fields. We can talk about those later. But I thought this was a pretty good performance from the Browns coming back in this situation, solidifying their playoff spot. They're still a game ahead of that group of four teams at 8-6. Joe Flacco's not perfect. He gives them a chance. I mean, their offensive line injuries concern me a little bit, Tucker, but this was a really good and important win for this Browns team, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they just keep stacking wins. And in a conference where it's so muddled in the middle between the Browns all the way down to the Steelers, I mean, the fact that they have a game up on everyone else right now for that top wildcard spot, I think is really impressive. And you mentioned, like, Flacco wasn't great today. He threw three picks. Their rushing attack was terrible. I don't even know what they averaged, but I think they only averaged like 5 yards per play as an offense in totality. But their defense is just unbelievable. The fact that they've been able to keep them in games throughout the season, the game started by Dorian Thompson-Robinson and Deshaun Watson when they were struggling earlier in the season. And, you know, what Joe Flacco did today, I mean, they held Justin Fields to 19 completions on 40 attempts. They forced him into two interceptions. They just, as a unit, they're able to kind of keep everything together until the offense comes up with one big play. And they did, with that touchdown pass to Amari Cooper, which I just thought was an unbelievable pass down the sideline that let him take it for 51 yards. But I don't know what to think of the Browns, because I also look at the rest of the AFC and, you know, where they're starting to line up in the postseason. And I'm not picking Joe Flacco to win playoff games in 2023 or 2024, but I look at that defense and they're capable of stopping anybody, right? Like any of the teams that they're going to go against in the upper echelon of the AFC, at least, you know, whoever the four seed ends up being, they're going to have a tough time scoring points against that Browns defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've already seen, you know, they beat the Jaguars last week, right? And, you know, Trevor Lawrence's ankle wasn't quite right, and he was certainly not as accurate as he can be on his good days. But yeah, they've already done that, and that might be their first round matchup if they're able to hold on to the seed. And so I think that they have a shot with that defense. I'm glad you mentioned Justin Fields, because it was not a great day for him. Of course, as we talk about, the Browns defense can do that to people, but it wasn't a great day for him. And I think I've mentioned this a couple times now. I think Chicago is closer to competing than maybe most people believe. I think this roster I think the defensive side of the ball is better than maybe people think it is. I think that the talent they have on offense is actually not bad. And they are going to have a massive decision to make here with Fields. Curtis, you've already speculated about where Fields can end up. This is going to be, it's just such a fascinating situation. I am like, I'm happy I'm not the GM of the Bears because I have no idea what they should do here. I just don't know what they should do.
The current GM, it doesn't matter either because I don't think he's going to be the GM of the Bears any longer.
Fair enough.
They have a war chest of picks available to them. They have a really good roster. That defense, once the secondary got solidified, they've got the rookie playing well, and they got Montez Sweat. And they're going to trade Justin Fields for a second and maybe something else. So you're going to have the first overall pick. And regardless, now you have to trade Justin Fields because he's not a slam dunk. He's going into year four of his contract. So you just have to, you have to punt that away and take a chance with one of Caleb Williams or Drake May. And then you're getting another really early pick, whether it's an elite wide receiver to go with DJ Moore, whether it's a lineman, like, they are going to be hard to deal with going forward. And they've got oodles of cap room too. So whoever is going to that situation is going to have some fun because there is a lot of really good pieces in there and you've got a lot of draft capital and potential trade capital. Sorry,
Panthers. I should say the Bears are not out. If they won this game, the Bears would have been like tied with the Seahawks and Packers. Yeah. So I also have to say the Bears are not out of the playoffs yet. It's an interesting situation because they're kind of fine, but also we're talking about the number one pick. They hope they get the number one pick. I mean, the Patriots and Cardinals are breathing right down the necks of the Panthers, who obviously have no incentive to pack it in. So that'll be a fun thing over these final weeks. But yeah, it's an interesting decision, and obviously that's going to be the talk of the offseason. The other team that had a massive win today in this AFC race was Houston. They won in overtime without C.J. Stroud. That is a huge, massive deal for them as they're looking to make this playoff push. They don't fall, you know, they keep pace with all of those teams at 8-6. I mean, it was against the Titans, Tucker, but this was an impressive win given what they were working with, I think.
Yeah, and it was a solid win. They played well in all three phases. They were able to run the ball. They threw the ball efficiently. Case Keenum completed, I think, almost 66% of his passes. He was 23 of 36. They each turned the ball over one time. He threw a pick, but their ability to, you know, really clamp down on the Tennessee rushing attack, obviously they've been using that a lot to get Will Levis out and play action. I think Derrick Henry had under one yard per attempt, right? He had like 15 attempts for 10 yards. I mean, they really defensively shut him down, and they did a really good job spreading the ball around. They had four different guys with three catches, and for a Houston team that I think for most of the season we thought they relied on the spectacular of C.J. Stroud, to see them kind of win in this situation where everyone else just kind of does their job and makes sure that they're solid in all three phases, I think it's another important step for this team as they try to learn how to win and build this resume towards a potential postseason appearance.
Absolutely. And they get, you know, they get the Browns next week. And I assume that C.J. Stroud will be back for that. I don't know about Nico Collins. It was really interesting that they listed him as questionable, despite, Tucker, am I right that he had three DNPs this week and they still listed him?
Yeah, that was a weird one. Usually like Tyreek Hill got that because he's Tyreek Hill and he's the best wide receiver in football. It's odd when someone like that gets that kind of designation.
It does kind of suggest that maybe he's closer than a normal 3DNP guy would be to playing. And so maybe they get him back this week. That would obviously be huge in this matchup against this Browns defense. I would assume that C.J. Stroud will be back this week. And so, yeah, they're heading into this stretch run. They finished with the Colts. I actually forgot to mention when we were talking about the Colts, they had a really important injury on offense with Michael Pittman, who left the game after just a very nasty hit from, was it DeMonte Casey? Was that who hit him? I don't think we have any updates on him, right? It's just concussion. He's in the protocol.
He's in concussion protocol, yeah.
Yeah, so that's where we are. We'll have to see. Maybe we're going to get a Josh Downs assance. Maybe that's where we see. Or Alex Pierce, huh? Any Alex Pierce love on the waiver wire, Curtis?
Potentially, yeah. Or the guy who dropped the first touchdown and then he just fumbled it himself going to the ground and then magically came back and made a really good play later. His name doesn't even come to me. I had no idea.
DJ Montgomery. It was in my head, but I looked at it to make sure because DJ Montgomery, that's like sounds like a created player name on just a random name, DJ Montgomery.
Almost, but one of those AI artificial names on one of the old video games. But yeah, Josh Downs kind of disappeared yesterday, and I liked the matchup, especially with Pittman out. Then he would have slid into the slot, and I thought he was going to have a day after that happened, and I don't know if he caught a single pass, and it's very, very strange to see how that happens. And then another, you mentioned they play on Saturday, so that's only a week to clear the concussion protocol, which week 16, you can probably clear it in a week, but with CJ Stroud didn't, so who knows what's going to happen with that. But yeah, I guess if we're talking waiver wire, we're going to have to look at their running back situation. Patrick Taylor came in and went absolutely bonkers. No,
not Patrick Taylor. That's the Packers.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Tyler Goodson and Tyler Trey
Goodson.
Sermon.
The Those Goodson. Are, sorry. I knew it was an old Packers. Goodson came in and he went past Trey Sermon and made some nice catches. And I really have a hard time believing that Jonathan Taylor would be back. And if he is, he's probably not able to catch the ball. So it'd probably be strictly running situations. It's going to be an interesting week to monitor that team. But then you've got the Browns you're going up against.
They play the Falcons on Sunday. So they're the Falcons on Sunday. And so,
I'm wanting wide receivers, that's not it. Yeah, so hopefully Michael Pittman comes back because that's a game he would be absolutely able to thrive in. That's a great matchup for him.
Yeah, no, that would be a good one for him for sure. Let's move on to the NFC playoff race, which is, it's just as interesting. There aren't more teams involved. They're exactly the same number of teams involved as we're looking at this. The Vikings lose on Saturday. They're very quickly kind of falling down the list. They're now 7-7, tied with four other teams. And then we've got three other teams at either 6 or 8 or 6 or 7. The Seahawks are 6 or 7. They play on Monday night. And then we also have the Falcons and Packers in that game. I guess we can get started with that Packers game. It was a very odd situation for the Packers in that, and this is kind of what we mentioned. We talked about the Bucks, who they're the people that beat the Packers today, is that we've seen teams get on these odd runs and it doesn't even make sense. Like it's not even that you look at their schedule and say, these are the games that they should have a nice winning streak here. You know, these are the games that maybe they're going to struggle with. I mean, they beat the Rams, the Chargers, the Lions, and the Chiefs to get back into playoff contention. The Packers did. And now they've lost two games in a row. And it's just, they're such a weird team, Tucker. Like it's just, I don't know what's happening in the NFC from week to week. It's so strange.
It's so odd because I look at this group of seven teams that have a shot to make the playoffs. And I almost feel like none of them really belong, right? Like none of them you look at and say like they deserve it. Right. If we had the college football playoff committee, they
would Sean McVay and the coach of the year takes offense to that.
That is true. And we did talk about that last week. I think Los Angeles is the highest ceiling of all of those teams with Matthew Stafford. You are right about that. But yeah,
Curtis is just trying to win my coach of the year tickets for me. We're putting Sean McVay coach of the year out into the world. If those of you who vote on these things, it'd be a great Christmas for me. I would Valentine's Day, let's call it. If Sean McVay would coach of the year. Anyway, sorry, Tucker.
No, that's all right. But it's so weird because you look at the Packers and you mentioned the teams they beat were far superior to the last two teams that they lost, and now all of a sudden you have a red hot Tampa Bay team who looks a lot like the team that played the first couple weeks of the season. Where Baker Mayfield is efficient and completed over 75% of his passes today, 4 touchdowns, perfect passer rating. Chris Godwin had probably his best game of the year with 10 catches and 155 yards. And this is a team that Curtis mentioned earlier. I don't have a lot of love for their coaching staff. I don't think Todd Bowles is the best head coach. I think he's a great defensive coordinator. I don't think he's a great head coach. And I don't know if they can get out of their own way to make a deep run into January, but the way they're playing right now compared to, you know, kind of the rest of this grouping here, these seven teams, it's hard to not think that they're going to, you know, be able to leapfrog over everybody as long as they take care of business against New Orleans. I mean, that week 18 game against Carolina, they should be able to go 2-1 in these last three, beating either Jacksonville or New Orleans and then finishing up with a win against Carolina. And that's probably good enough to, you know, make the postseason.
That game against the Jaguars is concerning. We'll have to see, you know, the Jaguars play after we record. And so we'll kind of see where they look like and what Trevor Lawrence looks like. But that is a concerning game for me because I just don't think the Bucs are on that level, even though they have been playing better. What I will say, though, is they got Chris Godwin going today. That could have just been they're playing the Packers and that their defense is not always great. But they got Chris Godwin going. And if that's the case, and if they're able to get Chris Godwin looking more like the Chris Godwin we expect from a couple years ago, rather than what we've seen from him this year, then the ceiling of that offense goes up pretty much a lot. How about that? How about we go with a lot? It goes up a lot. And so I think that was a big thing for them. The other team in that division that they're competing with, the Saints beat the Giants to keep pace with the Bucs. The defense really stepped up. They sacked DeVito 7 times. They shut down the running game. They didn't have Chris Olave. That's a big win to keep up with the Bucs without, you know, their key player on offense, or at least one of their key players on offense. So I was really impressed, I would say, Curtis, but the Saints came out here, their defense played better than maybe they have been, and they just took care of business.
Yeah, they did. And I know you had mentioned a couple weeks back that maybe one of these teams gets into a wild card spot, and I'm like, you're crazy. There's only room for one. But with those wins today, other than the game they each have against each other, I think they can both win two games. And one of these teams might sneak in with the Packers struggling, the Vikings struggling. I'm sure the Seahawks are going to have some trouble tomorrow. And all of a sudden, we're looking at two NFC South teams in the playoffs. And the Saints might be one of those two teams. Are we going to talk about the Falcons yet? Or we'll get to the Falcons later. So, yeah, we're just like... I've moved them to third in that list now just because they cannot get out of their own way no matter what. And it's a head coach thing. It's just we've talked about them all year, just doing some of the strangest things, trying to be smarter than they really are. I don't know what's going on there. And past the Cordero Patterson in the red zone today. And I don't know if anyone read the first touchdown article. I picked Tyler Algier because I said for some reason Art Smith will find a way to give the ball to one of his other running backs in the red zone rather than the eighth overall pick, and I got the wrong guy.
You just picked the wrong one. Yeah, that was an odd game. Yeah, we can go right into the Falcons. It was an odd. The Panthers have won two games this season. Both of those games came against teams in which the opposing team was happy to ugly it up with the Panthers, which makes no sense. It makes literally no sense to try to ugly it up with a team that you're better than. Limiting plays increases variance. If you're better than the team you're playing, you want there to be more plays because then there's a greater chance that variance is not going to play a role and your superior talent will win out. And yet, here we are. I mean, I know that the weather wasn't good. I got that. It makes a lot more sense for the Falcons to try to ugly up the game with the Panthers than it did for the Texans, for instance. And so I get all of that. But it was such an odd way to go about that game. 7 carries and 3 targets for Bijan Robinson. 7 combined targets for Kyle Pitts and Drake London. 14 carries for Tyler Algier, who I like. Tyler Algier, I think, is a pretty good running back. He's not Bijan Robinson. Maybe something will come out about Bijan and his health or something like we had in that one game. But It's tough. And suddenly their schedule doesn't look good. I mean, the Falcons, they get the Colts this week. Then they get the Bears, who I've continued to mention. Yeah, I think the Bears are pretty good.
Yeah,
and then they get the Saints. Like, they could lose all three of these games, Tucker. We could be that. This could be it for them. They could just end up whatever it is, 6-11, and that's their season. And that would be a massive disappointment given the opportunity they had.
Yeah, and you know, we've kind of been talking about the Falcons all year and how they've been sort of a beneficiary of the schedule, but you have to beat the teams you're supposed to beat, right? And you kind of look at what they've done the last couple of weeks. They lose a terrible game to Carolina, where you mentioned, like, if you're going to, you know, make it ugly and you're going to limit possessions and plays and try to basically sit on the ball and run out the clock, giving the ball to Tyler Algier, you know, 2-1 touches over Bijan Robinson, if Bijan Robinson is healthy, makes absolutely zero sense. No offense to Tyler Algier, who I thought had a great year last year, but that's just it's malpractice. It's coaching malpractice. And you add that to the loss they had to the Cardinals a few weeks ago by a couple points. And I mean, this is a team that coming into the season had a chance to at least put together a respectable record based on, you know, what they had to compete with in their division, what they had coming up on their schedule. And they did take care of business early on in the season. They beat Carolina, they beat a Green Bay team, they beat Houston, they beat Tampa. And there's just been too many games like this where they just, I think they're the better team, or you know they're the better team than Carolina, but they can't get out of their own way enough to win these games that they should win.
Yeah, it's a really disappointing season. But the thing, I say it's a really disappointing season. Falcons were never winning the Super Bowl, but they did have an opportunity here to win the division, to make it into the playoffs. You know, they had an opportunity to do more than they've done. And it's just, yeah, it isn't happening. That said, you know, maybe they beat these three teams and it's the NFC South, baby. We have no idea what's going to happen over these final 3 weeks. Make no bets about the NFC South because it could be a wild one. Throwing this out there, the Saints get the Rams this coming up week. The Rams, I think we've all talked about it. The Rams are out of this group of teams. The Rams are the one team where we go, okay, that could actually be a team that is troublesome for the elite teams in the NFC. They were able to beat the Commanders today. It did get a lot closer late than it looked like it was going to be. The Rams didn't continue to score like they had been. Jacoby Brissett came in for a bench. Sam Howell immediately opened up Terry McLaurin. All the Terry McLaurin drafters in Fantasy League just crying into their empty wallets because he immediately, Jacoby Brissett comes in and Terry McLaurin is back to being Terry McLaurin. And so the Commanders made it a game late. I want to talk about first, Curtis. I want to talk about, before we even get to the Rams, the Commanders make it a game late. They're driving down. McLaurin catches a long pass down at the 1 yard line. They're down at the 1 yard line with like 4.5 minutes left, something like that. And then they proceed to take it all the way under the 2 minute warning before they score. And they end up getting the extra point. I think it was blocked, right? And I'm like, yes, this is coaching malpractice. This is the reason you will not have a job next year, Ron Rivera. Just unbelievable what we saw from the Commanders at the end of that game.
Yeah, to make it a one-score game, they had the ball at the one-yard line. It actually got reviewed. He was almost in with 4:22 left, I believe it was.
4:22.
And then ran about five. They got it in. There's a penalty. They ran it. They bring in old Chris Rodriguez to run from the one-yard line when you have Antonio Gibson sitting on the bench just collecting dust. And that, again, almost serves them right for that to happen. But good riddance to Ron Rivera. Again, I say the owner has only kept him on there because I know he knows he's getting rid of him, but that is improving their draft stock every single day that he is still in the building. And what do they do with Sam Howell now? Because he just got benched and Jacoby Brissett came in and absolutely made Terry McLaurin look like the receiver we all knew Terry McLaurin was. But then to the Rams, it is a big game this week because they also have the 49ers in week 18. And if the 49ers have to win that game, the Rams are not beating them. Sean McVay is not beating. And unfortunately, he is not beating Kyle Shanahan. So unless the 49ers have clinched first place in the bye overall, they need this next game. So I do think they're going to be highly motivated this week as short week. I'm taking the better coach as well. And that should be a really good game, but I'm going with the better quarterback, the better receivers, and the better coach. But if the Saints do win, they're almost pretty much assured themselves of a playoff spot, because they not only they jump the Rams, then they also have the Panthers at some point in time down the.
Yeah, no, it is going to be a massive game, that like one of the most important playoff games, I suppose, playoff related games of next week. It's going to be really massive. You mentioned the tank for Washington, and so I brought up Tankathon. Thank you, Tankathon, for all the work you do. I absolutely love your website. So I brought up Tankathon, and yeah, the Commanders are now in fourth place. I mean, we're looking at a situation. They're
close.
The Patriots get an odd win. The Cardinals get an Cardinals always frisky. Cardinals get an odd win. Suddenly, the Commanders are right in position to draft one of those top two quarterbacks. Keep it up, Ron Rivera. Keep earning those paychecks and keeping the Commanders losing. On the Rams, I think, and I guess I don't need to talk about it anymore. This offense with Kyren Williams is just, it's different. And Cooper Kupp looks healthy. This offense is really something. And yeah, I am interested in that. Tucker, we also saw the 49ers, Chiefs, and Dolphins. They took care of business. Any random thoughts from those games, or is it just, this is kind of what we expected?
Brock Purdy, I know people think he's a system quarterback. We talk about that. He's got a shot at having the highest passer rating in the history of the NFL for a single season. I know that's a flawed stat, but just what that offense does when everybody's out there, it's crazy, because you kind of look at it, and the final score, they put up 45 points. They absolutely boat raced an overmatched Cardinals team, as we expected, but it was like 14-13 midway through the second quarter, right? It was a close game. They do this weird thing where they let teams hang around for a quarter and a half, and then around the five-minute mark of the second quarter, they just take off. Every time it goes 14-13, and then before you blink, midway through the fourth quarter, they're up 42-22. I mean, just what that offense does, and what Kyle Shanahan has got that offense to become, where they're just such a well-oiled machine with McCaffrey out of the backfield and Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk out wide and you know, George Kittle over the middle. If all those guys are healthy, if Trent Williams is playing left tackle, I don't see another team in the NFL right now playing on their level. And we've seen teams, you know, kind of have arcs where they play really well and fall down. But I mean, their three losses this year came when they had people out, when they had guys injured. And when they've been healthy and they've gone against, you know, the cream of the crop in the NFC and the rest of the NFL, I just don't think anyone is on the 49ers level right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. What I will continue to say about that three-game losing streak, because people always cite the injuries, and that's fair because there were injuries on that offense. The offense worked for two of those games. It's that Brock Purdy turned the ball over. That can happen in a game. But I think that's it.
Like, that's the only way they're losing.
I legitimately think it's either injuries or he just has one a turnover game, because that happens even to good quarterbacks, and which he is. And so it was interesting though, Curtis, we almost got a situation because he left this game for a little bit and then Darnold came in, and I thought we were going to solve our Sam Darnold could be doing this in the offense too. He didn't, you know, thankfully Purdy came back, but that would have been fun. Any overarching thoughts for you from any of these three teams?
The Chiefs did not look very good to start that game again. Like, I am worried about the Chiefs, man. I'm all aboard I would take the Bills any day of the week right now against the Chiefs. They're two teams going in opposite directions, and the way they win is completely different. Fortunately, they were playing the Patriots today, and they got by. But, boy, the struggles early. They were down early in that game, and a couple of Bailey Zappi mistakes. Like, they were losing to Bailey Zappi today. I'm worried. But Rashee Rice, maybe that's the one thing they now realize, that other than him, I'm elevating him above Kelce. Kelce is he's looking,
come on now.
Yeah, come on. He's off in Hollywood already. Like, he's already planning for his future now. He is just falling off a cliff. But maybe they had slowed Kelce down last year too, because they saw big picture, and his stats this year are going down the down the tank again at the end of the season. But when the playoffs rolled around, he got 10 targets in the first game. And so maybe that's it too, that they're just, it's the long game with them. And now that they have Rice, they can focus on him a bit more. But yeah, I'm worried. Nice game from Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, hey, the ghost of Clyde Edwards-Helaire came back to if any of you advanced any best ball teams with CEH, congratulations.
I kept him on my redraft bench today too, so I'm a little bitter about that because it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Well, I guess I have to talk about the Dolphins a little bit then. I mean, it is possible that the Jets defense has just given up at this point. So that's that. But what I'll say is Miami's offense was not functional against the Titans defense without Tyreek Hill, and that is a problem. And they were in this game. They looked pretty good in this game. And so that is a promising sign, a promising development for them. They needed this kind of performance. They've got Dallas, Baltimore, and Buffalo over the next 3 weeks. They needed this kind of performance. So it's definitely a good win from the Dolphins. And we'll see what they're able to do over the next 3 weeks. I guess on the Jets side, we should mention that Zach Wilson left this game with a concussion. Tucker, Aaron Rodgers was medically cleared. The Jets are officially out of the playoffs, though. They have to make their decision by Wednesday. I'm still, like, we're all still, like, on firmly on Aaron Rodgers is not playing this season, right? Like, we're still all firmly on that bandwagon.
Yeah, but don't you want to see it?
I do want to see it.
Right? Like, if we're going to have to watch the Jets, I'd rather watch Aaron Rodgers.
This is Aaron Rodgers, man. He is playing. He is the... He does what exactly we think he's not going to do. So he's playing. There's, especially with the concussion to Wilson, he's playing.
I think there's a human interest part of it. Yeah. Like, I'm more interested in watching him play than this team playing.
The NFL is pushing him to play.
I don't actually know. Do the Jets have any more primetime games? Are we finally through all the Jets primetime games? I don't even know.
They would have had to have got flexed out of them, I hope, at some point. But
hopefully so.
They have Jets Browns on Thursday night in week 17.
Can't wait. Can't wait. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that this week. That's certainly something to look forward to this week. Wednesday is the deadline. We will know by the time the transaction report happens on Wednesday whether we're going to see him or not. Obviously, some injuries we already talked about. Ja'Marr Chase, Michael Pittman, Jaden Reed, yet another Packers wide receiver injury. Dontavian Wicks, is that where we're going? Samari Toure, where are we going on the waiver wire if we're missing some Reed? What are you thinking about, Curtis?
I'm on mute. Malik Heath as well. He's both Wicks and Heath. I don't know where these Packers have came up with all these wide receivers, but they quietly have five or six first or second year wide receivers that when they step on the field, they make plays. So
yeah, they're okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The fun next couple of years. Tucker Kraft looked pretty good today too. So they've got two young tight ends too. Right. But yeah, Malik Heath is kind of him and Wicks. Every time they're on the field, they catch the ball and make really nice plays. So they both kind of played ahead of Dupes today. He struggled. I think he had a couple of catches, didn't get in the end zone. And yeah, one of those two guys for sure.
So there you have it. Waiver wire this week. We'll have the waiver wire article out on Tuesday morning. Make sure you go and check that out. If you've survived, if you're still in your fantasy playoffs, you can get that article. Use the promo code ANGLES. That's 15% off. We actually are going to be skipping a week. Next Sunday is Christmas Eve. I like you fellas, but I will not be spending Christmas Eve doing a podcast. So we're going to skip a week, but we will be back for week 17 to recap that week. We will have all of our other podcasts up over the next couple of weeks. Go and check us out. Adam Wild on Wednesday night, Rich and I on Thursday morning. We'll have Todd and Ryan on Thursday night. Make sure you go and check all of those podcasts out, and we will see you in a couple of weeks.